Welcome aboard the Story Ark. I'm your captain, Kenny Mears, and let's take a voyage together. Many people will tell you many different things about love, but one thing is consistent: the need for effort and sacrifice. To really allow love to flourish, there needs to be effort to connect with your partner, and you must be willing to sacrifice something, whether that be your time, energy, or something else. Today's storyteller, Stephanie, hails from Missouri and is here to share with us the beautiful story of how her grandparents fell in love. Here's Stephanie.
My name is Stephanie Rollheiser. I am originally from Kansas City, Missouri, though I lived in Atlanta for 30 years prior to my almost 19 years here in Salt Lake City, Utah. I have my degree in acting, but went into corporate America for about 30 years. And since retiring back in 2020, have gotten back into acting and storytelling. I told my very first story back in 1989, if you can believe it. That certainly dates me. Friendships are forged, battles fought, wars waged, destinies won. These are the dramas that play themselves out every single day all across the world in high school lunchrooms. And the same is true in 1932 when one of the best love stories ever written began. You see, it wasn't your ordinary kind of love. It's the kind of love that courses through your veins and lights up your very being. Because in the cafeteria of St. Peter's Catholic School, Giuseppe Tutorino and Filomena Presta, Joe and Minnie, my grandparents, met for the very first time. My grandfather had an unrequited crush on my grandmother for so very long, and she wouldn't give him the time of day. Now, if Grandpa were here today, this is the part of the story where he would interrupt and he would say, "Minnie was in the smart class, I was in the dummy class." And my grandmother would laugh and with mock mortification, pat his little hand and say, "Now, Joe, you know that's not true." Grandpa was more of a tradesman. My grandma had earned the moniker of CFO of the family, but they weren't even in the same year. I can promise you that there wasn't a day that went by that my grandfather wasn't thinking about my grandmother and how he was going to meet her. But it seemed like he was foiled at every turn, every time he stood in the doorway to the lunchroom, waiting for her to come through and walk by. She wouldn't even glance in his direction, wouldn't give him the time of day. Every time he flashed his biggest, best smile at her, she was looking in another direction, watching something else. And every time he tried to put some obstacle in between the two of them so that she would be forced to stop and have a conversation with him, inexplicably and inevitably, she was always diverted in another direction. He was so frustrated. How was he going to meet this woman who was the love of his life? Well, a solution presented itself. Posters all around the school showed that there was a dance that was coming up, and this meant my grandpa would have to talk to her. He had made up his mind he was going to ask her to the dance. He practiced over and over and over again the night before, and then surrounded and emboldened by his siblings and his friends, he waited for her to come into that cafeteria. And he waited and he waited. Where was she? He could hear the clanking of the trays. He could hear the silverware scraping back and forth, the brown paper bags rustling, and all of a sudden, there she was. Minnie Presta. His heart started beating out of his chest. He got so nervous. His little palms were all sweaty. And all of a sudden, all that rehearsal went right out the window because he blurted out, "Hello, Minnie. I don't know if you're aware, but there's a dance coming up and I sure would like to take you." Oh my gosh. He had done it. He had said it. Well, a look came over my grandma's face, a little bit of pity and a little bit of compassion. And she said, "Oh, Joe, I can't go with you. You don't know how to dance." What? Did she say Joe? Did she just say Joe? She knew his name. She knew who he was. He was so excited. He was beside himself. It literally took him a few minutes to realize she'd actually turned him down. And not just turned him down. She'd sort of insulted him a little bit, though it was true. He couldn't dance. Oh, he was crestfallen. He was devastated, crushed. And I so many times wish that I had stopped to ask the question, what did you do, Grandpa? Did you just stand there and let her walk away? Did you go home and try to practice dancing in front of the mirror? Did you ask your brothers and sisters to help? What did you do? Well, I don't know what actually happened in the in-between time, but I do know what transpired in the end. A few weeks later, my grandfather, very confident in his Sunday best, marched through that cafeteria and walked right up to where my grandma stood with her friends about to sit down for their lunch. And he said, Minnie, as you know, there's a dance coming up and I would like for you to go with me. A hush fell over the cafeteria. What? All eyes turned towards them. Forks stopped and were suspended in midair, food hanging precariously over the edge. Everybody knew Grandma had turned him down. What was he thinking? My grandma looked a little nonplussed at him and thought, I thought I gave him a pretty good reason why I didn't want to go. And so she reiterated, Joe, I can't go with you. You don't know how to dance. Everybody waited. What would Grandpa do? He opened the lapel of his suit coat, pulled out a rather large envelope, and with a hand that was shaking just a little, started to pull out a thick piece of paper. Grandma said she could just make out the gold embossed arched letters over the top. Arthur Murray. He pulled the paper the rest of the way out and he handed it to my grandmother. It was a certificate from the Arthur Murray School of Dance. My grandfather had gone to take lessons. Now, I come from a very long line of Sicilian Italian peasants on my grandfather's side, so I have no idea how he was able to afford this. I don't know if he did some fancy negotiating, or if, more than likely, he scraped together every last penny of his life savings. Whatever the cost, whatever the price, whatever the sacrifice, he had deemed her worthy. And let me tell you, go to that dance they did as my great uncle Chester watched and chaperoned. They moved across that floor to every single song the band played that night. And their love, the love that courses through your veins and lights up your entire being, was sealed. And I can promise you, all those years later, when that horrible disease had ravaged my grandfather's mind and wiped every memory of St. Peter's Catholic School from it, as my grandfather lay in his hospital bed in the sunroom of my mom's house, and Grandma would clean his feeding tube and change his diapers and adjust his covers, every single time she looked into his eyes, she saw that handsome, brave, debonair, courageous young man she had fallen in love with all those years ago in the cafeteria of St. Peter's Catholic School. And I am forever blessed to have witnessed one of the greatest love stories of all time.
The Story Arc is a production of Food for Thought Audio. This episode was written, produced, and edited by me, Kenny Mears. We'd like to thank today's storyteller, Stephanie Rollhazer, for sharing her story. Stephanie is a member of the Utah Storytelling Guild and a professional storyteller. You can find more information on her page with the Utah Storytelling Guild, as well as with the McCarty Talent Agency. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram, or wherever you listen to podcasts for more content. Until next time, thanks for listening.